Well, good morning. I trust that I've said it before. I know I've said it before, but I've really just so enjoyed getting back into the Book of Hebrews and just digging into the depths of all the truth that is in there. And I trust that you too are enjoying this study. We're still in the Book of Hebrews, chapter 11. It's an incredible chapter of faith, but let's have a word of prayer. Lord, as we come again around your word, we again, just as we focus on the character of Abraham today, Lord, just pray that you would strengthen our faith, build our faith, Lord. Help us to understand what faith in you is all about so that we can live our faith more effectively. Just ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in our study in chapter 11 so far, we've been trying to answer this question: what kind of faith does God accept? And we've looked at a number of examples of why faith in God is necessary and what this faith looks like. And we saw in our first sermon that our chapter title for this chapter is Why Faith in the Superiority of Jesus is Commended. So, before we even get to answer that question, why faith in the superiority of Jesus is commended, I've been looking at what that faith actually looks like. And in the first sermon, we looked at three examples: that of Abel. Abel had a sacrifice-defining faith. Enoch had a obedience defining faith, and Noah had a prophetic defining faith. They were all pointed to Jesus, friends. That's what the book of Hebrews is all about. The book of Hebrews is all about just how superior Jesus is to everything. In our sermon last week, in the second sermon, we were looking at the examples of women, because last week was Women's Weekend, Women's Day weekend in our country. And we saw that Sarah had a miracle-defining faith. She believed in the miracle of the birth of Isaac. Jochebed had a protect-defining faith. Both the parents of Moses and of Jesus protected Jesus, and saw in their children a special character. Rahab had a trust-defining faith. She showed us that trust in the God of Israel is important, and she trusted also in the covering of the blood because she had to put a scarlet cord in the window. And then we looked at a group of women who I defined as women who had a resurrection-defining faith. We saw Mary, who anointed Jesus in preparation for his death. We saw the woman at the foot of the cross. We saw the woman at the tomb. We saw the woman who were there when Jesus arose, and we saw the woman who Jesus was the first one to appear to after his resurrection. So today I want to look at the faith of Abraham. In many ways, Abraham sets the tone regarding the subject of faith in the Bible. The Apostle Paul goes so far as to say that he is the father of faith. Listen to what he says in Romans chapter 4. I'll read a few verses, 1 to 3. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Then verse 11 and 12. For he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith, while he was still uncircumcised. So then, he is the father of all who believe, but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to him. He is also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith of our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. And then verse 16 and 17. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offsprings, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom we believe, and God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not his own through though they were. So, how is the faith of the father of faith? Was it? How the faith of the father of faith was in the superiority of Jesus. So I'm going to read verses 8 through to verse 19 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents. He, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him to the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who has made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were strangers and aliens on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country when they left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring would be reckoned." Abraham reasoned, that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. So what does the faith of the father of faith look like, and what does it teach us about the faith of Jesus? Well, first of all, Abraham had a response-obeying faith. It says in verse 8, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. You see, folk, the first step of faith is an invitation. Faith is not in nothing. Faith must have an object. God called, and Abraham responded. It's one of the great failings of the prosperity movement, because to a large degree in the prosperity movement and in that kind of movement, faith, their faith is in faith. It's not in God. But you see, Abraham's faith was not in faith. His faith was in one who was calling him to respond. So when God called, he responded in faith. Well, friends, it's just like Jesus. Jesus displayed that same faith. Listen to what it says in John chapter 6, verse 25 to 38. Jesus just done a miracle. He's on the other side. He just fed the 5,000. In verse 25, it says, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered them, I tell you the truth, you're looking for me not because you saw the miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and ate your full. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? That's the question we're asking. What is faith all about? Jesus says this, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. See, our faith isn't in just faith. Our faith is in Christ. Verse 30 carries on and says, so they asked him, what miraculous signs will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread, but it is my Father in heaven who gives the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I have told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. And verse 38 is this crucial verse. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. See, folk, Abraham responded to a call, just like Jesus responded to a call. Jesus came to earth in response to the call of the Godhead, so that we may know salvation. And friends, God is still calling. God is calling you. God is calling you to put your faith and your trust in him. And the question is, have you responded? Have you stepped out in faith? Or are you still trusting in your own abilities? Friends, faith. Abraham's faith was a response-obeying faith. He put his faith in God and stepped out to follow the command of God. Secondly, Abraham had a trust-growing faith. Verse 8 carries on and says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. You see, friends, in many ways, the very definition of faith is stepping out when you don't know the outcome. Abraham had a trust-growing faith. God called Abraham to leave his home of Ur to go to the part of the world that he knew very little about. When our children were young, Patricia and I took them on an overseas excursion. We took them to Egypt and to England, and then to Ireland. Folk, it was the first time I'd ever been overseas. Never been overseas. I was in my 30s. Nathan was 10. We went to visit the British Museum. When we got to the British Museum, in one of the sections was a bowl, a golden bowl from Ur, the very place where Abraham had come from. It was a bowl that was 3,500 years old, at least 3,500 years old. I stood in awe and wonder to think that the God of the Bible that I was reading mentioned Ur in that very Bible. Ur was a sophisticated place. Abraham was asking, God was asking Abraham to leave Ur with golden bowls to go to a place called Canaan. The word Canaan literally means the lowlands. In other words, this is not a place that's well developed. You see, friends, the very definition of faith is a trust growing. Abraham, God called Abraham to go out, to step out from his comfort zone, to go to a place where he did not know what he's going to experience. And in fact, friends, Abraham just modeled what Jesus was going to do. Jesus did the same when he came from heaven to earth. Just think of Jesus leaving the glory of heaven to come to earth. And don't forget, friends, when Jesus came to earth, he came to earth as fully man. He didn't come as God. He came as man, friends. It was God who sent him. John chapter 5, verse 37. And the Father who sent me. John chapter 12, verse 49. I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who has sent me. Galatians 4, verse 4. When the time had fully come, God sent his Son. 1 John 4, verse 13. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Friend, Abraham had a trust-growing faith. He stepped out to go where God was sending him, just like Jesus did for us as well. Thirdly, Abraham had an incarnation modeling faith. Look at verse 9. It says, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Abraham, friend, moved from living in a permanent home, probably a fancy one, to a temporary one, a tent. And in fact, friends, Jesus did the same. Why is Abraham's faith like that of Jesus? Well, in John 1 verse 14, it says this, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and other only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Friends, the word translated dwelling is the word tabernacle, which means a tent. Abraham, friends, modeled the incarnation. He moved from his home, a permanent home, to a foreign country and lived in a tent, just like Jesus left heaven to come to earth to live in a tent. Fourthly, Abraham had an anticipating faith. Verse 10 says, he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. You see, friends, when Abraham left Ur, his ultimate trust was in a God who would provide a permanent home. He didn't know when it was going to come. He just knew it was going to come. And friends, Jesus had the same anticipation. He anticipated the same. Listen to what it says in John 14, verses 1 to 4. Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, faith. Trust also in me, faith. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, so that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. You know the rest of the story. Thomas says, where are you going, Lord? We don't know that place. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Friends, Abraham had an anticipating faith. He was expecting God to do great things, just like Jesus. And we too need to have that same faith. Fifthly, Abraham had a nation-creating faith. Verses 11 through 16 talks about when Abraham and Sarah had a child, and through them, the nation, the promise was fulfilled. Friends, we saw at the start of this message that Abraham was the father of those who live by faith, as well as being the father of those of the nation of Israel, those who were circumcised. We read that in verse 16 and 17 of Romans chapter 4. It says, therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offsprings, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. Abraham, friends, had a nation-creating faith, just like Jesus. Jesus, friends, too, was the founder of a nation. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Friend, just like Abraham was the father of Israel and the father of those who had faith, Jesus, friends, is now our father. Yes, he's our brother, but he has joined us together to be a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people who belong to God, friends. We're no longer known as the children of Abraham. We're now known as being Christian. We've got a new nation, a Christian nation. And then sixthly, Abraham had an experience-built faith. Verse 17 says, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. You see, friends, when God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, Abraham could fully step out in faith, for God had raised his and Sarah's body from death to give them a child. He had the experience of God's miraculous working in his life. And friends, just like Abraham had an experience built faith, Jesus too fully trusted God based on his experience of God while living on earth. You don't think Jesus had lived by faith? Listen to this, what happened with Jesus. Jesus went out as usual, Luke chapter 22, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's breadth beyond them and knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Yet, not my will, but yours be done. The angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Man, that's faith. That's really exercising faith. Jesus was about to give up his life, not knowing what the outcome would be. Yet, not my will, but thine be done. So friends, In our journey to discover why the faith in the superiority of Jesus is commended, we've described what this faith is like. We've seen the faith of Abel as a sacrifice defiling faith, the faith of Enoch as an obedience defiling faith, the faith of Noah as a prophetically defiling faith, the faith of Sarah as a miracle defiling faith, the faith of Jochebed as a protecting defiling faith, the faith of Rahab as a trust defiling faith, the faith of a group of women as the resurrection defiling faith. Today we have seen the Father, the faith of the Father of faiths. Abraham, a response obeying faith, a trust growing faith, an incarnation modeling faith, an anticipating faith, a nation creating faith, and an experience built faith. Now let me ask you, friend, are you willing to step out in faith with God? Friend, it begins with a call. If God called, how would you respond? Perhaps he'll call you to go to an unusual place. Perhaps he'll call you like he did the rich young ruler to sell everything you've got and give everything to the temple. Friend, God calls. God wants you to step out in faith. I'm not asking you to put your faith in faith. I'm asking you to put your faith in God. God's still calling. God's still inviting you. Will you join him? Step out in faith, friends. It's a wonderful journey to be on. It's a journey worth following. Friend, you'll never be disappointed when you obey the call of Christ. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for calling us to step out. Help us to be bold like Abraham was. Thank you for the wonderful definition of faith we find. Help us to live it out in every way. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. Our friends, let's step out in faith with God. Is worthy of putting our trust in him. Amen.